Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Jennifer Corning, and we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. The Alberta Bear Theatre in Billings boasts the largest performing arts venue in the region. Just shy of 1,400 seats, the ABT showcases professional touring companies, featuring theatrical performances, musicians, dancers, as well as local groups. ABT's executive director, Jan Dietrich, has devoted her professional life to the theatre. Over the past 30 years, she's worked as education director, development director, and as a member of the Board of Trustees. She retires this June after 10 years at the helm. We wouldn't let her exit stage right without learning more about the ABT and her experiences on Broadway.
Jan, welcome to Resounds. Without further delay, I must tell our loyal listeners that actually you and I work together almost every day. You're my boss. Well, actually, we have worked together for even longer than that. But you're leaving at the end of June, but we want to recognize the importance of the Alberta Bear Theatre, the incredible part you have played in its evolution and success. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you, Corby. And actually, yes, we did start working together in 1991. So it's been a haul.
Okay, then let's go back to the beginning. Tell us the origin story of this performing arts venue in Billings.
Sure. So it actually started out as the homestead of the Charles Bear family. And so on the corner where the theater sits, Alberta Bear was actually born there. So if you can imagine, however many years ago, I'm not even exactly sure, but she would ride her horse down forth towards where the First Interstate Arena is today. So lots of history all the way back there, and we're proud to be able to say that that was her homestead. It then became the Fox Theater and was a movie theater, and I believe it was in the early 1980s that they decided to sell. So the city bought the building and wanted to tear it down and put in a parking garage. Well, as you can imagine, the Fox Committee was all over that. And we didn't want it to be a parking garage. And so they renovated it, which it reopened in 1987 as the Alberta Bear Theater.
So the Fox Committee was actually a group of local volunteers that presented shows in that building, although they didn't own the building. The building was actually still owned by the city, is that correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So the big change in 1987 was, again, a group of local community volunteers decided to do a major renovation and turn it into not just a movie house, but actually a performing arts center.
That's correct. And it started with Christine Myers approached Hughes Agnew to see if he would, you know, be able to get a group of people together to save this theater for it to be able to become a performing arts theater. And so they wanted him to chair a committee, and he went and he talked to a lot of the businessmen in Billings that were really instrumental in moving this city forward at that time. George Slover, Jace Norsworthy,
L. Weingartner.
And then he got Jim Scott, Larry Martin on the committee, and Hughes said, you know, I'm not going to just try to get these people together. I really want to be involved. So that's how it began. And they met every Monday morning at 7 o'clock in the old cellar place, I think it was called. And decided how they were going to save the theater, and they did. And they raised the money locally, and Alberta Bear was their lead gift, which is why it's namesaked after her.
One of the things that I find interesting that I think a lot of people don't know, when I think about the Babcock Theater, which is a movie house, the Fox Theater was a movie house. It was much larger, but it wasn't really set up to be a performing arts center. So that renovation must have been monumental.
It was in 1987. They expanded the stage out into the audience, which is why actually performers love it today, because they're so just part of the audience, and they can feel that in their performances. But it was expanded into the wings, seating, everything was redone in 87.
And Jan, you began working at the theater in 1991.
Yes.
But I think you were even involved in some ways before that. Were you on gala committees and as a volunteer?
You know, no, I really wasn't. I moved to Billings in 1990, and it was a great way to get thrown into the community and really got to know a lot of people that cared about this community, which I think is why the theater has remain to be such a strong part of my life. I did chair Stomp with Kate Williams, the most successful gala, but no, I was not really involved before 1991.
So, Jan, what's interesting, I feel like this is shop talk. You and I were looking at what other theaters in the region are similar? Because as you're retiring, we're looking for a new executive director. And we were saying, oh, where else is the theater with 1,400 seats that's a nonprofit, run by a nonprofit board, not the city, not a university? And guess what we found?
There really isn't anyone.
It's very unique.
It is unique. It is very unique.
So your first job there in 1991, tell us about that.
Well, it was the education director, and it was part-time. And the Alberta Bear Theater and School District 2 were chosen to be charter members. There were 14 of us through the Kennedy Center, and started an arts and education program to work with artists to educate teachers on how to put the arts into the curriculum. So it was a real honor for our theater and our school district at that time to be able to be a charter member of this group through the Kennedy Center. And so the board at that time created this position once that relationship with the Kennedy Center was established.
And today, how many school matinees do we have each season?
It varies anywhere depending on 16 to 20, but approximately 20 to 22,000 school-aged and some preschool children come through the theater each year as part of our education program. That does not include when the artists go out into the schools to do outreach or if they do anything in the community or with the educators. That's just students being bused in by their school districts to see a professional performing arts performance.
I want to give a shout out to the theater, to the sponsors. We have many community sponsors support student matinees. And because I've been around and talked to other theaters, again, it is so unique that we have that kind of a partnership with the schools, that the schools are actually not only bringing students to this theater, they're investing in the whole arts education.
They are investing in arts education, and, you know, we're really fortunate that they appreciate and recognize the value of what the arts, how the arts help kids with all different kinds of experiences today, and what an impact they can make on their education.
Absolutely. I just love the fact that there are hundreds of school kids and dozens of buses in front of the theater, it makes you feel like this is really a community.
It does make you feel like that, and it almost makes you want to be back in school again.
No, it doesn't make me feel that.
it's just so fun to see some of these kids, if it weren't for this program, would never have the opportunity to be in the theater watching a live performance. And the joy that they express through their actions and emotions is really incredible to see. And if you ever want to attend one, get a hold of me. We'd make that happen.
It is such a wonderful thing. Jen, I just thought, do you remember when Ballet West was at the theater? We had a relationship, and they did a show for school, and there was nothing on the stage. Tell us about what they did and how magical that experience was.
Well, first of all, you have to understand Ballet West. They're one of the most incredible ballet companies. I'd love to be able to get them back. It was probably one of the first school performances we ever did, which would have started in 92. And I believe it was for sixth grade. The school district was very particular with the grades. They sent third grade, sixth grade, freshman, and high school, because those were really big years in your education. Anyway, the stage was bare. It was dancers. They told the story of Act One. They performed Act Two, and then they told the story of the end. It was the only way that they would be able to experience something like that, because they're 55 minutes long. But it was incredible. I'll never forget it.
And students got
it was Swan Lake.
Yeah, and students got to see from a bare stage to bringing in the curtains, bringing in the lights, adding the costumes. It was such a magical experience of seeing how theater is created.
Yes, it was.
And just last week, Charlie Brown's Christmas was at the theater. And tell us why that happened. I just bring this up because I think about community and partnership, and this was a great example.
It really was. And the Art House brought in Charlie Brown with the live band, which they've been doing for several years at the Babcock. And after the Babcock had their, unfortunately, ceiling fall in, Matt Blakeslee wanted to continue with the film. And so he came and talked to me and said, is there any way that we could partner with the theater and have this happen? And so we worked together and certainly made it happen. And it would be great to have them back again. They were fun to work with. People loved it. But it was just something we both felt really strongly about for the community and to have it continue.
Thinking back over the years, are there some most memorable shows in your tenure at the Alberta Bear Theater?
Yeah. So I would have to say for me, it was probably Tony Bennett. He was fabulous, and I will never forget it. The second one was Bernadette Peters, and I'll never forget one of our board members. It was Dr. Bob Hilton at the time, just gasping when she sat on top of the black grand piano in her sequined gown. And oh my gosh, was she going to scratch it or not? But anyway, that was also a really fun show. But, you know, they're all good in their own way, but some do stand out more than others. You have to admit it.
And Tony Bennett was actually not the celebrity he became. When he was there, he was kind of at the end of his career.
Exactly. And then it's like he had a come about and a whole nother career from, you know, he was kind of at the end, and we kind of thought, anyway, it was just incredible. I remember the gala committee at that time, because I was the liaison between the theater and the gala committee to have that happen, and, you know, through correspondence. But Broadway, all the retail businesses had, like, New York, New York in their windows, and it was decorated all the way down to what at the time was the Sheraton, so the DoubleTree now, for a party afterwards. The trees on Broadway were lit up with twinkle lights. It just was so exciting. The whole community got behind it.
Okay, I can't not mention Bernadette Peters, who I had to take to dinner afterwards because she eventually came to the gala party and showed up and shook hands with her. But I took her to the Rex Hotel and sat next to her, and she put her hand on my thigh at dinner.
I bet you can't forget that.
It's one of my fondest memories, my theater career. Well, what a range of performers and experiences. So you were involved in the education department for a long time. And then how did you transition to your next position at the Alberta Bear?
After 5 years as education director, I decided to be at home with my girls and kind of did that for a little while. And then I did special events for the Boys and Girls Club, which turned into development, which brought me then to the theater as a development director and eventually the executive director.
Development director. Sounds like a lot of work. But, Jen, you are going to be retiring in June with a lot of success under your belt. Tell us about some of those great experiences and successes in the development directing position.
I will admit that they are under my belt, but it wasn't me. It's this incredible community that allowed it to happen. I mean, I've never lived in a community before. I remember saying to my husband one day, people in Billings love Billings. I mean, they really want Billings to succeed. And, you know, it is an incredible community, but without the support of patrons here and just the theater itself. I mean, people contributed to the success of the Capital Campaign in our 1920 renovation that don't necessarily attend the theater, certainly not on a regular basis, but they understand the importance of what it does to a community. Businesses use it as a recruiting tool for doctors, bankers, lawyers, you know, and then the schools. So people really recognize what our community would be like without it and how important it is. And that's why I was able to be successful, was to be able to talk to people about that.
That is one of your strengths, my dear. Jan, you are so good. I think it's very helpful to have lived in Billings, raised children here, understand the community, because many people think, like, there's some big fairy godmother out there that gives the Alberta Bear Theater money, or that the city gives us money, or the county. In reality, where does the funding for the theater come from?
It comes through personal donations. It comes a portion, not even half of the cost of an event comes from a ticket price. So, however, purchasing tickets helps support that. We need to do individual fundraising separate from that. It comes from sponsors. We have a lot of businesses in town that are incredibly generous to help us be able to bring what we do to the community. And then we do have a few foundations and some grants. However, right now the federal funding has pretty much dried up. Other than that, we really depend on the people.
And actually, the theater has gone to the community several times. The initial opening of the theater in 86, 87 was the renovation of the Fox Theater into the Alberta Bear Theater. But in 2020, 2021, there was a campaign for another major renovation. Why was that necessary?
Because in 5 years, the doors would have closed. I mean, the theater literally would have been gone. We were unable to meet the needs of the artists anymore, which is the number one priority. And the number two is we weren't able to meet the needs either, really, of the patrons. But technology had changed so much that, you know, the artists didn't want to come here anymore. And we couldn't provide them with what they needed to put on the show that they wanted to present.
So you raised nearly $14 million for that renovation, which happened actually during COVID, which is amazing. What did the money go for specifically in terms of the renovation at the theater?
Well, for the most part, I think I could say the theater was pretty much gutted. We expanded the lobbies out into the sidewalk, so we increased the lobby space. It went to a new sound system, new lights, new seating, more restrooms, a larger concession area. You know, it's kind of funny, Corey, because when I was on the board in 2004 to 2010, they talked about a renovation and an expansion of the restrooms. Then I started working again in 2014, and I was like, hey, you guys, you either need to move forward on this or stop talking about it, because I don't want to hear about it anymore. And so in 2010 or whatever, they did a feasibility study. And then when I came back in 2014 and they decided to go forward, we did another feasibility study. And they pretty much said the same thing. They said, we stay downtown. We want more restrooms. And then in 2014, the community added, but we also want a new experience. And that's when the initial campaign went from, okay, we can add a few restrooms at $4 million to almost $14 million. And I'm glad we did it right. I mean, if we hadn't done what we did and said, we can do this, you know, I don't know where we'd be today.
I also think, Jan, I'm laughing about the fact that you and I are going to be in New York in January and probably see a couple Broadway shows. The most uncomfortable place in the world is a Broadway theater. The narrowness of
the
aisle. And no bathrooms.
Oh, right. Your knees hit the chair in front of you if you have any length whatsoever to your knees. And there's always a line to the restroom.
What are the other things that I think has been successful with the theater, and I wonder why this is important? The theater actually expanded all the way out over the top of the sidewalk. Why was that additional lobby space necessary?
You know, our community wanted it. We needed it for if we held other kinds of events in the lobby. People wanted to experience the theater in a way that they could congregate and gather and visit with friends prior to a show and then talk about it a little bit afterwards. So it really was for the community in the ability to discuss the performing arts together and talk about what they just experienced.
Jen, here's a much more philosophical question.
Okay, good.
Why do you think the performing arts are important?
Oh, there's so many reasons. Well, I attend because I like the way I feel when I'm watching live performance. I think it's important because we're so connected with technology today, that if we don't give our mind a chance to turn that off and just almost escape into another place once in a while, then what do you become? I mean, it's just that feeling. It's what it does to your soul, and people need to experience that.
One of the other things I always mention, and I feel it, like you said, when you're in the theater, watching TV, watching your computer, it's a one-way interaction. And the magic of an audience with the artist and that kind of communication really can't be duplicated by a computer.
It can't. I mean, it's what you're experiencing, not only individually, but with everyone around you. And, you know, that's live performing arts.
Are there some things you would like to see? Of course, you're retiring after a long career here and a successful career at the theater. What are the things you would like to see the new executive director take on? What little projects would you like to leave on their list of to-dos?
You know, that's an interesting question. And, you know, I think it's time to take the theater to the next level. And I, you know, I've already done what I need to do. And someone else can come in. I think we can look at some programming involving more people in the community. And you know, I don't know how else to say it other than taking it to the next level. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful.
I hear you saying change is a good thing.
Change is a good thing.
But I will say, Jan, thank you for being on this show. And the change and the evolution that's going on at the Albert Hubert Theater would not have been possible without you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's in my heart.
Jan, thank you for being on Resounds. We will have more information on our YPR website with the link to the theater, with upcoming shows, a little biography of Jan, and more information, ypradio.org.
You've been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Corby Skinner, Jennifer Corning, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.